This evening, if you have your Bibles and will turn with me to 1 John, we want to continue our study out of 1 John. This evening, I want to begin at chapter 5, beginning reading at verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness, that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give to us again to study your word this evening. We thank you for the truth of your word, and we thank you for the promises that you've given to us, and the fact that you sent your Son to pay the penalty for our sin at Calvary. Lord, I pray that you just help us to focus on the fact that you have told us this, you've revealed this to us through your word, and Father, you have borne witness of it through the power of your Spirit to our spirits. Lord, now we pray that you'd speak to us tonight and help us to focus on you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that's happened that John began at the beginning of his early on in his letter was the fact of false teaching that was coming into the world, and people who were denying that Jesus is who Jesus is. The Gnostics were prevalent during John's time on earth. And the Gnostics are those that believe they have special knowledge that you or I don't possess. They believe they have special knowledge of who God is. They believe they have special knowledge of the means by which God works in our lives and deals with us. The Gnostics believe also that if you don't possess this knowledge, you are outside of any relationship with God, and it's really based upon the special insight that they possess. One of the things that they teach is that you need to listen to them, and you don't need to look at the Word of God. This type of thinking is prevalent in our day, as it was then as well. There are many people even in the church today that are abandoning the Bible as the final authority of their life. They will listen to speakers. They will listen to men. But they don't want to listen to God's word, nor do they want to follow God's word. Well, John is writing here, and he's telling him what is to be the foundation of our relationship with the Lord. First of all, we need to understand the testimony that was given unto us and where it came from. And he gives two places that we can look to find the truth about who Jesus is and about why we need to believe in him. The first he gives comes from the very ministry of Christ himself when Jesus came to earth. And we find that in verse 6 where he says, This is he who came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, what is he speaking of? Came by water and by blood, and why it's important that it wasn't by water only. If you remember what Jesus was doing when he was first introduced to the world as the Son of God, the Lamb that came to take away the sins of the world. He was out in the wilderness where John was preaching. John was preaching in along the Jordan River in the southern or southeastern portion of what is Israel today. And he was preaching out there, and it was amazing is the people were flocking to hear him and came all the way from Jerusalem and other cities to come out in the wilderness to hear John preach. And if you go back and look at the Gospels, you'll see that what John was preaching is he was calling men to repentance. And he was calling men to prepare their way and prepare their hearts because the Lord was coming and they needed to be prepared. And we saw that the Pharisees came out to hear him and they wondered who he was and why he was preaching. And he actually condemned them and asked them why they'd come there, because who told them to come out, because they had no desire to repent. They really had a desire to silence John and his message. But one of the things that John was doing as a sign of the repentance, he was baptizing people as an outward sign of the inward cleansing that was going on in their hearts as they came back to repent, to prepare to follow the Lord. Into this setting, Jesus came. And as Jesus came and John saw him coming, he proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He was proclaiming that John was proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah, because the Messiah was the one that was going to be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Jesus was then baptized by John, not because Jesus had to repent, but as a sign of Jesus' commitment to the Father and his unity with the Father. This was the first sign and word that was given to reveal that Jesus was the Messiah, the time that he was baptized by John. But had he only been baptized, he would have been like any other man that had been baptized by John. But there was something different that would happen in Jesus' life that would reveal that he was the Messiah. The one thing was the Spirit of God revealed who Jesus was, and the Spirit of God possesses truth. Now, when did the Spirit of God reveal that? He revealed it, number one, through John. When John said those words, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," when he's looking at Jesus' approach. And then also we know that the Spirit of God, as the Father spoke, "Behold my Son in whom I am well pleased," when Jesus was baptized by John. And then the Spirit lighted upon Christ. And we see that this was all given so that men would know the reality of who Jesus was. And so John the Apostle tells us in this verse the revelation given of who Christ was, and that Jesus Christ is who he says he is revealed by the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And the three are one in their message. And they all proclaim that Jesus is the Messiah. So when men would come and tell you that, "Well, I've got special knowledge that you need to have a different, that there's a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible." For example, in the New Age movement, they talk about how that you possess Jesus and you have the Christ consciousness. And they talk about this Christ consciousness. There's nowhere in Scripture where it talks about Christ consciousness. It's a different gospel. It's a different message. It's a different Jesus. We see that remember a number of years ago, Constance Cumby was here and she was telling us about there was a man who was going around the world at the time saying, "Prepare because the Christ is coming and he's alive on earth and the Christ is here to be with us." Again, a false Christ. and really a antichrist, if you would. Even if he would not be the antichrist, it was a type of the antichrist. Why? Because he came to usurp Christ's position and authority. He came to take the place of Christ, and this messenger that he had that said he was here was merely proclaiming a false message, but he was a man proclaiming it. As we're going to see in a moment, who do we trust? Do you trust the revelation through the water, the blood, where Jesus shed his blood at Calvary and there confirmed his mission to take away the sins of the world and to pay the penalty for our sin? And it was revealed at Calvary when Jesus shed his blood. So consequently, the water, the blood, and the Spirit proclaiming Christ. But that's not all that John stops. He also goes on and he says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven." So it's not, this record isn't only born on earth, but it's also born in heaven. And this is one of the places that is distinctly revealed, the triunity of God, or the Trinity of God, not triunity, but the Trinity of God, where God is one God and manifesting himself in three persons, and that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And John says that the revelation is revealed from heaven, the same thing that was revealed in Jesus' life when he walked on the earth, and you saw the testimony of the water when he was baptized, the blood when he shed it on Calvary, and the Spirit that proclaimed who he was. In heaven, then, we see that John tells us the following. "For there be three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." Now it's interesting, John is the only apostle that uses the term the Word for Jesus, not only in his letter, but also in his gospel message. And this is significant, because we see that by the Word, all of the things that came into being and were created. John tells us that in his gospel. It's also revealed to us in Genesis. It was the Word of God that brought things into being, that brought that that did not exist into existence by the power of his Word. We also know that the Word is revealed in the book of Revelation, which John also wrote, where it talks about the power of the Word that Jesus will proclaim, and that by his very word, all of his enemies shall be destroyed. And so we see that the Word here is in making reference to Jesus. So we have the Father, and we have the Word, who is the Son, and then we have the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, who are three in heaven that proclaim Jesus is the Messiah. Now, did Jesus proclaim himself to be Messiah? Yes, he did when he walked on the earth. And he also reveals that in the book of Revelation, when you see him in the throne on heaven, and he proclaims not only the purposes in which he had come to earth, but also he proclaims that truly he is the one who has always existed in the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the one who started what we know as time and who shall end what we know as time. And he is the one who had created and sustains all things within this period of time and shall be the judge that shall come and judge at the conclusion. All that's revealed in the book of Revelation, and it shows us the power of God. But it also says that the Father had given him the right to do these things and was in agreement with him. In the book of Ephesians, Paul tells us that before the foundations of the world, before anything had been created, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit were in heaven, and they determined that the Word would be the one that would go to earth, take on the form of a man, and pay the penalty for men's sin when men rebelled against God after he was created. So even before creation, God knew that that man, when given a choice, would choose wrongly and made a means by which redemption could occur and they could be bought back into this relationship, and the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, were there. Well, in heaven today, these same three proclaim and reveal who Jesus is, and that they are the ones that had proclaimed that He had come to be the Messiah. Now, it says here, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. And so we see that both the three persons of the Godhead in heaven that are one, agree in one, and the whole purpose of Christ's coming, when He was introduced by the water, by the baptism, were pointed to the fact that He was the Messiah. When He died on the cross, and He was the Messiah, and the revelation of the Spirit of God, they all agree that and are one in their message. Well, as I mentioned, the false prophets today aren't one in their message. They have different Jesuses. They have different means of salvation. They have different... there's no agreement there at all, other than they would come against the true gospel, because Satan desires to supplant the gospel with his own message, and supplant the Trinity with his own unholy Trinity, and supplant the deception in men's hearts of the purpose and meaning of why they're here. And it's not to serve God, but rather to serve Him. And so we see that is the message that comes forth from men when they come and try to present something against what has been the true gospel and the truth that's been proclaimed by the Spirit of God. It says here, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And what he's saying is, we will listen to men, but men can't tell us anything without the power of God. And men can't tell us anything without the revelation of God. And so why would you listen to the message of men when the message of God is the truth, and it's greater than any message men could proclaim? And down through the ages, there have been all kinds of men that have come and tried to get people to follow them. During World War II, Adolf Hitler came and said he was going to create a 1,000-year reign. Well, what do you think that was modeled after? It was modeled after the Messianic reign of Christ, the millennial kingdom. And Hitler said, I'm going to be the one that's going to bring this into existence. And the amazing thing is, you had the nation of Germany and many other people in some of the other countries of Europe that believed him and followed him. They actually literally worshipped the man at times. And you see these old videos of when he's speaking before multitudes of crowds, and it's like they're mesmerized with what he's saying. But the thing is, he was a man who was not proclaiming the truth. You only can find the truth when God presents it and proclaims it, because only He is the truth. So John tells us, why would you listen to men? He that believeth, receiveth the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. So what is the witness of God? The witness of God is that His Son is the Messiah that came to save the world. That His Son is the one who created all things. That His Son is the one who sustains all things. And His Son shall be the one who shall judge all things. And he goes on, He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. So if you're a Christian today, and if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the true witness in you. You have the truth in your heart. And why would you want to exchange truth for error? The sad thing is, you have a lot of people today that want to follow lies instead of truth. But as a Christian, we possess the truth, and the witness resides in us. How do we know the witness resides in us? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us that we possess the Holy Spirit. He manifests Himself in our life through revealing Himself as a convicting force, as a encouraging spirit, as one who is there to direct our paths, as one there who is there to enlighten us in the Word of God and reveal to us how this applies to our hearts and lives. As you read God's Word, the amazing thing is the Spirit of God opens it up to you. You don't have to be a great Bible scholar to understand God's Word. Because God, you've got the greatest teacher in the world, and that is the Holy Spirit who resides in you. And He's the witness within you of the fact that, what? Jesus is the Son of God, and it's only through your faith in Him that you can have restoration in a relationship with God. And so we see here that He says to us, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself." And that witness, you don't have to go outside and have others tell you how to find God, because He's already there. And so if you've got people, I remember hearing people that would run from place to place, and we've been listening to some testimonies by some Jewish people about how they came to know that Christ was the Messiah. And I've shared with you some of these before, but one of the interesting things is a lot of them, before they came to faith in Christ, literally ran from religion to religion, from teacher to teacher, from this following this doctrine and that doctrine and this belief and that belief, trying to find peace in their hearts, trying to find meaning in their life. And it's only when they came to a knowledge of the truth, and what's amazing is the majority of them came to Christ by reading His Word. A lot of them, when they give their testimony, says they came to accept Jesus as Messiah when they opened up the Bible, and a lot of them, it was when they looked in what they refer to as their Bible, the Old Testament, and began to read the prophets, and many of them, it was Isaiah chapter 53 that brought the conviction that this is the Jewish Messiah, this is the Messiah of God, and this is the one who they have to give their heart and life to. And the transformation in these people's lives is oftentimes amazing. As you see people who were literally caught up in all kinds of activity in the world, and really some of them in hopelessness, into drugs and all kinds of different things, trying to find answers to life. And when they came to Jesus, their lives were transformed. And that happened because, as it says here, the witness within himself, and he that believeth in the witness of God in himself is the one who is redeemed. And he says, "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar." Who has he made a liar? God. Now, if people tell you, "I don't believe that Jesus is Messiah, but yet I follow God," they're a liar. You can't follow God and not believe in Jesus. Because God is, we just saw the witnesses that John is laying out. Jesus himself on his walk on earth revealed all these areas that were united in their witness. In heaven, the witness is united by the Father, Son, and Spirit. And in earth, the believer himself has Christ, the witness of Jesus being Messiah, within himself because we believe. And if you come and say, "Well, I want to be a follower of God, but I don't want to believe in Jesus," you just made God a liar. Because you're saying there's another way that you can follow God besides what God has said. And if God is the truth, and if God only speaks the truth, you're saying He's a liar. There's a lot of people today that want to make God a liar. You want to say that you can follow God by not believing in Jesus, or that you don't have to have a personal relationship with Jesus, or, as we talked about earlier, you can believe in a different Jesus than what's outlined in Scripture and revealed to us by His Spirit. He says here that he has made God a liar because why? He believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. What it means, the record here, when it uses the word record, it means witness. In other words, that person made God a liar because they would not believe the witness that God gave of His Son. Today there are a lot of people who are calling God a liar around the world that don't want to believe in Jesus. And the problem is, there's going to stand a day of accountability for them. The Scriptures tell us that there's coming a day where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And you know, you stop and think about that. A lot of times we can become discouraged as we listen to men. As you listen to all the men and all the just noise that's around the world today about the wickedness and evil that's going on, and there's all these powerful people that have all this control and all these people that have all this money and power, and how that they're manipulating, destroying people's lives, how they want to control. Guess what? One day they're going to have to bow the knee and confess before the Lord. You just stop and think about that. Some of the people that make the nightly news and that stirs fear in some people's hearts are one day going to have to be bowing before Christ and proclaiming He is Lord and King of Kings. And it's not only the people alive today, but you know, if you go back in history, there's always been evil and wicked people. All those people will one day, there's a resurrection to life and there's a resurrection to death. The resurrection to death is a resurrection where they will be brought before the Lord and they will hear the words, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Yet at that very moment, before that, they will have to confess that He is Lord. And then the separation from the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God will be eternal. And instead, they will only experience the wrath of God for eternity. And it's going to be a horrible day. And so, people need to understand. And there's a lot of people, especially when younger people, but it's not only younger people, it's older people. I've got time. I've got time. I'm going to wait and give my heart to Jesus later if Jesus really exists. But I want to do, you know, if you stop and look at, one of the things that looked at lately is obituaries, and people are dying younger and younger. It used to be that it was only people in their late 70s and 80s and 90s that were dying. Today it's people in their 40s and 50s and 60s that are dying. And a lot of these people didn't know the Lord. And I'm sure a lot of them thought, "I've got plenty of time." I pull out the charts and it says the average age is for a man is 76, the average age for a woman is 78 or whatever it is today. And maybe I'm only 40, so I got time. But by doing that, you're making God a liar, because you're denying the fact that He says Jesus is the only means of salvation. Jesus is the means by which you need to come unto me. And today is the day of salvation. Don't put off for tomorrow what you need to deal with today, because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. Tomorrow could bring your death, and you're not prepared. And so, he's telling us the importance of listening to the truth that God proclaims. And this is the record or witness. Okay, he's going to tell us. They deny this witness, this record, but this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And just stop and think about that. The truth is, God has given to us eternal life. But there's only one means by which you can attain it, and that's the means by which God has enabled us to maintain it, or attain it rather, and that is through Jesus Christ. And this has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. The life that we can possess, the eternal life, the relationship with God eternally, can only be found and possessed in His Son. And it can be done no other way. Don't listen to men. They're liars. And they're motivated by the king of liars, the deceiver of deceivers, Satan himself. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath death. Or hath not life, which is death. Death is an interesting concept. We often think of death merely as physical death. But the greater death than physical death is spiritual death. And you do not possess life if you do not possess the Son. I heard a man give a message one time, and he was talking about all the people that are the walking dead. And he wasn't talking about zombies. He was talking about the millions of people in our world today that do not know Jesus Christ. They have no life. They think they've got the physically breathing, but they do not possess life. You possess life when you know the Son of God. And you only know the Son of God because of the witness of God and the power of God and what we've looked at tonight, the revelation of God to us, that we could come to know the truth. And that by the truth, we're set free. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand the importance of yielding our hearts and lives to you and trusting only in you and not in the words of men and not in the things of this world, but rather to look to your word and to believe upon your Son, that we can have life and have life more abundantly. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, turn to 699.